You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 52. Hello and welcome to today's show. So today we're going to be talking about when to start a UCAS application, and I'm going to be explaining all the timelines involved in applying to a UK university. This is because it's at this time of year that people start to think about applying, well, putting together their personal statement and filling in the details on their UCAS application. So I just wanted to fill you in on all the timelines and when it's possible to start doing your personal statement and when it's possible to submit it and the deadlines and all that kind of thing to keep you fully informed. So if your child is planning on going to university, you're probably wondering how much the process has changed since you were at that stage and what needs to be done when. In today's blog post and podcast episode, so if you prefer to read, I do have this as available as a blog post if you go to my website, lifemoreextraordinary.com/52. So in the podcast or the blog post, I'm going to explain when to start a UCAS application, as well as all the timelines leading up to starting an application, so that you and your child are fully prepared when applications open. But first, I think it's really important just to explain what UCAS is, because not everybody is 100% clear about that. So UCAS stands for the Universities and Colleges Admissions Service. And on their website, what they say about what they are and what they do is that UCAS is an independent charity providing information, advice, and admissions services to inspire and facilitate educational progression. Now, that sounds a bit jargony and mumbo jumbo, so I'm going to translate that for you. So they're basically the intermediary between university applicants and universities, handling all the admissions and making sure the right applications get to the right places and that the office system is managed properly. So back in the day when I applied, it was all done on paper forms. So they would have been making sure that the copies of the paper form that I submitted got to all the universities and the right departments in those universities to which I'd applied to. And if you're a parent listening, then that's probably the case for you if you went to university as well. In this day and age, it's all done online, so they manage all that IT and all that kind of stuff to make sure it works. And as they say, they provide advice and support to help students through the kind of education system from school into university and then onto postgraduate courses. So if you want to apply to a UK university, you need to submit your application through UCAS. So when can you start a UCAS application? So in terms of the UCAS IT systems, they say you can basically start a UCAS application at any time. So if you're wanting to apply to university for entry in 2019, so autumn 2019, then you can actually start your application right now. However, you won't be able to actually submit it until some of the dates below. So the entry dates for 2019 are as such. So you start an application at any time from now. The first date you can actually click on that submit button and send it off so that UCAS have got it and all the admissions tutors can have it is the 5th of September 2018. And if you're listening to this in the future, I've got a link back to the UCAS website so that you can check to see the precise dates for this year. But the dates I'm giving you are pretty standard for most years. So for example, if you're applying to Oxford or Cambridge universities or most courses in medicine, veterinary medicine and dentistry, then the deadline will be on the 15th of October 2018, but it is generally the 15th of October every single year. So for the past 2 years at least, I know it's been the 15th of October. So that doesn't change with the day of the week, it's just the 15th of October. So just think middle of October for Oxbridge, medicine, veterinary science and dentistry. And then for all the majority of other courses, the main deadline is the 15th of January 2019. And that date, if you're listening in the future, it's going to be, you know, mid-January as well. That's not the case if you're applying for some art and design courses, which have a 24th of March deadline, but you can add these later. So if some of the courses you're applying to, their deadline is later than some other courses, you have to get your application in to meet the deadline for the first course deadlines that you're applying for, but you can add other courses later to the application, so long as you do that by the deadline for those courses. I hope that makes sense. Saying all that about deadlines, UCAS advises students to submit their application as early as possible. So what they say on their website is that student funding arrangements mean that as offers are made and places fill up, some courses may only have vacancies for students from certain locations. It's therefore really important that you apply for your chosen courses by the appropriate deadline, as not all courses will have places for all students. And I would add to that, and I'll talk about this a bit more later, but I think the earlier you apply, the better, because it just stands to reason that there are going to be more spaces available on each of the courses the earlier you apply, and therefore there's going to be less competition for places right at the beginning of the application process. So it's, while I've heard it said that UCAS are supposed to be fair to everybody whenever they apply through the application process, like right up to the deadline, it just, you know, if you apply on the 15th of January and, you know, 90% of the places have already gone and they suddenly get a huge spike in applications at the deadline, then there's going to be more competition for those remaining 10% of places. And so it's probably going to be harder for you to get one of those places. So if you want to know more about the application deadlines, you can find out more on the UCAS website. And I've linked to the exact page from the show notes that go with this podcast episode, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/52. Okay, and the last thing I should say is that if you apply after the 30th of June, you will automatically be entered into the clearing process. So your application won't go to each of the universities to give you an offer. You'll just go into clearing and you'll have to see what you can get when exam results come out. Okay, we've talked about actually submitting the application and, you know, opening up the application and starting filling in all the details. But actually, there's a huge amount of work that goes on before you can even create your profile on the UCAS website, or, you know, before you can even start filling in that form. So I'm going to talk a bit about that now, because there's some really important timelines here that you really need to start thinking about so that you can plan ahead and make sure that you're ready to start this application and get it in early to give yourself the best possible chance of getting a place at, or your child the best possible chance of getting a place at their chosen universities. So when should your child start thinking about their UCAS application? So my advice would be that all students should be thinking about their UCAS application at the very latest by the summer of year 11. This is because there is a long list of activities that need to be done in order to make sure that your child is A, applying to the right courses at the right universities, so they're not going to regret where they've chosen to study or what they've chosen to study throughout their degree course and maybe even for the rest of their life, and B, they have the necessary material to put together a strong application and personal statement. So if your child is thinking about applying to the UK's premier universities, such as Oxford and Cambridge, and the very competitive courses at top Russell Group universities, they should ideally start thinking about this earlier in year 11. So not right at the end of year 11, but starting a bit earlier than that. So what needs to be done? The first thing is that quite a lot of research needs to be done. Choosing which courses in universities to apply for are massive decisions. Your child is choosing where they're going to spend 3 years of their life, what they're going to learn, and effectively set the direction for their working life and quite possibly their personal life by the friends and social life that they have at university for at least the next decade. So, you know, I think a lot of people start changing careers, particularly girls and women, maybe this will change in the future, but start changing careers, I think, in their 30s as they start getting married and having families and all that kind of thing. But definitely for the first 5 to 10 years after you graduate, what you've done at university has a huge bearing on your working life. And as I said, it could have a huge bearing on personal life as well because of the friends you make, the places that you go, the kind of hobbies that you have, and even like meeting boyfriends and girlfriends and future spouses and all that kind of thing. So it's a really important thing. This means that everybody needs to be really careful about when they're considering which courses appeal to them by looking at university websites and by starting to visit universities to see if they like the vibe, both socially and academically. The visits in particular take a lot of time, money and energy. So I remember going to visit, for example, Sheffield University, which had a very good reputation for geography, but I went with my whole family. We all went for the day to an open day. And I just didn't like the vibe. I didn't like, didn't like isn't a strong word, but the other students that I met who were showing people around on the day just weren't my kind of people. I didn't like the layout of the university. I didn't like the halls. You know, I just wouldn't have felt comfortable applying there and definitely not actually studying there. But, you know, I could very easily have put Sheffield down on my application and, you know, put it down as a backup choice. And, you know, if I hadn't got the grades, I might have ended up going there. So it's really important that you do this research to kind of filter out where you do and don't want to go. Another one of my clients went to visit Nottingham University, and the course that she wanted to study, basically they advertised this course, but nobody really knew anything about the course, and it wasn't even really a proper course. It was a mixture of two subjects, and nobody'd really coordinated it and thought about how these two subjects went together. It was just they were taking some modules from that course and some modules from that course and putting them together. And she would never have found that out unless she'd actually visited and done the legwork. So this is really, really important stuff to do. Okay, so the research is the first part of what needs to be done. And then the second part of what needs to be done is actually preparing an application. So students don't just need to choose which university and course to apply to. They also need to prepare an application that is going to be irresistible to the admissions tutors in charge of their chosen courses. There's several things on this list, and you can learn more about these elsewhere, but I'll just list them out now. So one of the things, depending on the course that your child wants to study, might be work experience. Something else could be voluntary work. Then we think about paid work, so how part-time jobs your child has done while they've been at school might have given them good skills that will help them to be a good candidate for the course they want to apply for. Then we've got further reading, which is the most important thing. And then we've got things like following the news about their chosen subject, consuming other media like films, radio, podcasts, blogs, magazines. You know, there's all sorts of stuff out there that can keep you up to date with the subject that you want to study. Then there's pursuing personal projects that demonstrate an interest in the subject. So you might find people who've created a blog about, I don't know, a local history project that they've done, or somebody who has actually conducted some scientific experiments, or somebody who's created a computer program for something. So those personal projects are really good. And then finally, there's completing an EPQ or extended project qualification. So not every student, and I say no student needs to do all of those things, but every student needs to do some of those things. And so it's really important that you give yourself time to do them well, really engage with them, so that you can write about them intelligently in your personal statement and talk about them if you're asked to interview. And also, just do it so that it's not a huge rush. If you left it all till the summer of year 12, it'd be really difficult to fit in good quality work experience with plenty of further reading, doing the reading for an EPQ, you know, all of that in like a 6 week summer holiday would be really, really tough to fit in. So it's important to start thinking ahead. So yeah, why does your child need to start so early? All of that stuff takes time. You can't just decide to do work experience at a vet and start tomorrow. You have to find somewhere willing to take you at a time when you can make it. And the other thing is, you know, talking about vets, often, you know, you look at the websites or the application criteria for very competitive courses like veterinary medicine, and they'll say things like you need 5 different work experience placements. And that's huge, you know, finding 5 different places to do the relevant work experience and fit it in with your studies, as well as getting the level of grades you need to apply for veterinary medicine. So you really, really need to plan, and you really, really need to be organised. So if you think about it, most of the school holidays in year 11 will be taken up with revision. So all the half terms, the Christmas holiday, the Easter holiday, basically I'd say pretty much all of them, except the October half term, possibly, unless you've got November mocks in year 11, need to be dedicated to revision and maybe having a bit of chill out time as well to keep your strength and motivation up for the year. And then part of the summer holidays in both year 11 and year 12 will probably involve a family holiday. So this really doesn't leave many weeks in which to do all the things that I've already talked about in this episode. That's why you have to start early, making sure you're not caught out with the application deadlines approaching and nothing to include in the personal statement. Also, remember, you put yourself at an advantage by applying early. It's obvious that the sooner you apply in the application cycle, the more spaces will be available. So the more likely your child will be to be offered a place. And finally, the other thing is that the sooner you get your UCAS application out of the way, the sooner your child will be able to focus back on their studies to actually get the grades they need to get into the universities and the choice courses they've chosen. So I know from working with some year 13s, they've left all this personal statement stuff until like the September, October, November of year 13. And they are so stressed because they're trying to visit universities at the weekend. They're trying to do the further reading. They're trying to draft their personal statement at the same time as coping with the upped work level that they have in year 13, because year 13 is harder than year 12 and is harder again than year 11. And so it's really hard to do all this stuff properly all at the same time. So if you get this UCAS stuff polished off so that you can start year 13 just almost by pressing the submit button on that UCAS application, then you're going to be at an advantage for getting the grades that you also need to get into those chosen courses. So I hope all this has made sense and you've kind of understood the timelines I've been talking about. So just to recap a little bit, with the UCAS applications, so if you're thinking about entry in 2019, I'm recording this podcast in June 2018, and you can start your UCAS application now. Like, you can open, create an application on the UCAS website, start drafting your personal statement and all that kind of thing. The earliest date you could submit that application is the 5th of September 2018. If you're applying to Oxford or Cambridge or courses like medicine, veterinary medicine or dentistry, you have to submit your application by the 15th of October. And for the majority of courses, the deadline for submitting the application is the 15th of January 2019, although some art and design courses have their deadline on the 24th of March. However, if you're thinking ahead, I would really strongly advise you start strategizing and planning a really good UCAS application at the latest by the summer of year 11. And that is because it gives you the time to do it all properly and fit it in amongst all the demands of exams and revision and all that kind of thing that is going to happen through year 12. So yeah, at the latest at the end of year 11 when GCSE exams are over. But if you're aiming high, I would advise you to start earlier than that. Okay. if you're thinking, oh my goodness, we've left it a bit late, or, you know, this all sounds a bit complicated and is a bit more than I really thought it was going to be, you may like a little bit of help. And I am here to help you with that. So this year in 2018, I've got three ways that I can help you with the UCAS application process. So the first one is my Top 10 Mastermind, and this is going to be a group coaching program for year 11 and year 12 students who are hoping to apply to Oxford, Cambridge, or the top Russell Group universities. It's a 3-month group coaching program where I will also provide some one-to-one sessions for the students to fully support them in selecting university courses and putting together a suite of activities that will make their application stand out from the crowd. So how it will work is we'll have some group sessions where I talk about the overview of the different kinds of activities the students might want to do to flesh out their personal statement. And from there, the students will start to analyse exactly which ones they need to do for the types of courses they want to apply for. So, like, do they need work experience if they're doing an English degree? Or, you know, it's a bit different if they want to do a law degree, you know, all this kind of thing, so that they can create a plan that is specific to them. And so we'll have several group coaching sessions around that, and accountability. And then I will offer some one-to-one sessions as well to keep the individual students on track and answer their specific questions. And the people taking part in this will also get a copy of my e-course about writing personal statements. I'm currently in the process of updating it and renaming it and all that kind of thing, but it's been the essence of it, the way it teaches and all that kind of thing won't change, but just the look and feel and name, and there'll be a few extra little videos and things included in it. That won't change, but it's been really successful and good at helping people get interviews at really top universities like Oxford and Cambridge, as well as other offers from lots of other universities as well. So students will get a copy of that to work through in their own time as well. So the second way you can get my help with all this personal statement malarkey is through a personal statement planning workshop. So this is a live workshop that will take place one evening in late June or early July. I haven't got a date fixed yet. And it will walk through the students the process of planning activity support to support their UCAS application. And students who sign up for this will also get a copy of the e-course, so that they've got their plan, which we put together on the live workshop, and then they go away and enact their plan. And then when they've done all the experience, reading, blah, 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 they can then write their personal statement with the guidance of the e-course. And then finally, if you think you've, that second option, that personal statement planning workshop, that is for everybody else who isn't aiming for the top 10 mastermind. So that's people who aren't applying to Oxford, Cambridge, or the top Russell Group universities. It's everybody else who's going for all the other different types of courses that are available. And then finally, if you think you've got all this kind of planning stuff sorted, then there is the e-course, which will be updated. It's available now, and fundamentally it's not going to change, but it is going to be updated over the next few weeks. So if you're interested in any of those things, I think probably the best thing to do at this point in time is to drop me an email. My email address is lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com, and just kind of ask a bit more. I can add you to the waiting list for either the Top 10 Mastermind or the Personal Statement Planning Workshop, and we can take it from there. So I really hope that today's session has been helpful for you. Please let me know if you've got any questions about either the ways you can work with me or about the actual content of today's podcast. But all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and goodbye.